Haftarah Acharemot Kedoshim 5777, Fear of Commitment, written by Rabbi Joseph Dwake, read by Norman Lebrecht. You always have two choices, your commitment versus your fear. That's Sammy Davis Jr. This is Ezekiel chapter 20. Synopsis. Yechezkel the prophet speaks of God extending his hand to bond with Israel. He discusses their time in Egypt and the first and second generations of the wilderness. God extends his hand to them in each situation and asks that they leave their idolatrous ways and embrace his Shabbat and his commandments. In both cases, the people instead hold on to their idols and reject the laws and profane the Shabbat. They've taken what is sacred and discarded it. God restrains his wrath so that the nations do not perceive that he's become unfaithful to the commitment he so publicly showed to his people. He reminds Israel that he's extended his hand in solidarity and care to provide them life and that he is the Lord their God. In our lives, we desire both change and permanence, and we struggle between them. We seek change because we know that growth requires it, but our fears of the unknown tie us to the status quo. While we find value and meaning in the development and growth of our spiritual selves, we also resist emerging into a more spiritual existence because it requires the relinquishing of our egocentric hold on the world. Spiritual growth requires consciously refining ourselves, investing in faithful relationships, letting go of manipulation. We're held back from cultivating our souls when, even subconsciously, we latch onto control and numb our pains with pleasures. When we use pleasure to succor life's irritations, we lower our thresholds for discomfort to a point that we can barely stand any at all without immediately, at times addictively, soothing it. We anchor ourselves to our trappings and keep our higher selves out of reach. Our propensity for commitment and loyalty is handicapped as a result. A cardinal attribute of spiritual maturity is the ability to dedicate ourselves to someone or something over time and experience, and to respond to change. In doing so, we accept the discomfort we will experience through the passage of time, knowing that the fruits of that dedication and faithfulness will far exceed the discomforts. Designating something or someone as special in our lives brings with it a demand for special care. In marriage, this designation is called kiddushin, sanctification. It's sacred. The emotional and psychological risk required in such commitment is great. For when we acknowledge that someone is that special to us, we at the same time are hoping and expecting that we will be seen as special in their eyes. We expect the trust and loyalty will be reciprocated. When it is not, it's like a bullet to the heart. But the heart learns through its trauma, and it has the potential to be transformed with grace and become splendidly beautiful. He heals the broken-hearted. Harofe lishvurei lev, it says in the Psalms. God will not scorn someone who is broken-hearted. Our second parasha, Kedoshim, for which our Haftarah is designated, opens with a straightforward but highly challenging command. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. We're implored by our Maker to strive towards the highest levels of our own existence, not just because it's a noble ideal, but because in doing so, we will resemble God and connect to him. It's the most unique of relationships. We are charged to live a life committed to that goal. It's a life of volatility, to be sure, but it's one that thrives in loyalty, faithfulness, and dedication, and it yields spiritual growth. Most important, when we are in relationship with God, we are engaged with the source of life. You are to keep my laws, it says in Leviticus, which when a human does them, he lives by them. I gave them my laws, says God, which is when a human does them, he lives by them. In the Haftarah, God enumerates his offerings to us that will ensure it. He offers a fertile and beautiful land that he himself has vetted, the fairest of all lands. He offers us laws and guidelines that promise to promote life. He presents a sign of sanctity called Shabbat, a day on which we can rest, let the world and ourselves be, and without worry, take time to commune with God and our own souls to assess and feel our progress. Yet commitment seemed far above us. We utterly rejected the unique and sacred and sufficed with the mediocre, the unexceptional and the profane. We rejected commitment and hid in the chilling shadows of personal power and fetish. They did not relinquish their detestable things that they were drawn to, nor did they give up the fetishes of Egypt, says the Haftarah. We resisted and rejected. We opted for stasis instead of growth. We held to what we knew and what we could control. For they had rejected my rules, disobeyed my laws, desecrated my Sabbaths. Their hearts followed after their fixation, says the prophet. Our Haftarah addresses the rocky journey that we had with God in responding to the sacred charge of our parashah. God had raised his hand and extended it to us, committing himself to this unique and sacred relationship. On the day that I chose Israel, on that day I raised my hand for them to bring them out of the land of Egypt, to a land that I examined for them, flowing with milk and honey, the fairest of all lands. And the people chose personal power and pleasure over commitment. In response, God restrains himself from pouring forth his anger upon them, but seemingly only because it would be a public relations disaster. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it not be desecrated in the eyes of the nations among whom they resided. And he repeats that statement, ending it, in the eyes of the nations before whom I freed them. The endings of those statements are key to understanding what exactly God is concerned about regarding public human perception. Egypt saw God's commitment to the children of Israel, and the neighboring nations saw the display of his loyalty in freeing us. They would likely see the expression of his anger as a breaking of faith. That, said God, he would not do. God is not concerned about himself, but about his name, how he's known in the world vis-a-vis his relationship and his covenant with Israel. God will not have the nations of the world perceiving him as one who breaks a commitment. It's not that the nations shouldn't see God becoming angry with us, but rather they shouldn't see him as discarding a people to whom he had once committed himself before the eyes of the world. To have a special relationship is to hold a sacred bond, which is honored through dedication and consistency, come what may. Our handshakes, gifts, words, and statements of commitment express our ability to treasure the connections with those who are special to us. They should not be offered lightly. In the end, it's our committed relationships of every kind that we not only find our most precious experiences in life, but also our most sacred and meaningful selves. To commit with loyalty and quell our fears is to stoke the flames of the sacred soul within us to become holy.